Hello and welcome to today's lecture. In the series of lectures today, we'll talk about e-commerce as an industry. E-commerce from the global industry perspective, and e-commerce mostly primarily from the perspective of the industry in India. So the first chapter is an introduction to e-commerce as an industry, as a whole industry, on what is e-commerce. So let's look at the agenda of chapter one. So we'll talk about what is e-commerce. E-commerce, as you know, is a short form for electronic commerce, buying goods and services online, right? From grocery, electronics, t-shirts, toys, books, to even services like movie tickets, insurance, even health consultations or education courses. So e-commerce is not just goods. When we say e-commerce, a lot of people assume it to be Amazon, Flipkart, Myntra, and eBay. It's much, much, much beyond that. So we'll talk about what is e-commerce. Then comes the e-commerce classification. As I said, e-commerce is beyond just physical goods and products like apparel, electronics, and grocery. So what are the different classifications like B2C, B2B, mobile commerce, social commerce? Then how has the evolution of e-commerce taken place over the last decade and two? And the scenario of the e-commerce industry in India. So we'll talk about what is e-commerce, e-commerce classification, evolution of e-commerce, and Indian e-commerce scenario. Let's first get an introduction to e-commerce. So what is e-commerce? As I said, e-commerce is a short form for electronic commerce. So basically transactions that happen online on computers, on laptops, or tablets, and even smartphones today. So when you buy goods and services online from a seller of products or services, or from a distributor or an aggregator, the entire process of buying and selling and receiving the products and services is what constitutes e-commerce. That includes even payments made online. A lot of times you pay online. Cash on delivery is a big chunk of the industry in India, but now people pay online using credit cards, debit cards, net banking, UPI, and different wallets. So the entire transaction, buying, selling, paying, and receiving the goods or services constitutes e-commerce. So as I said, it's activity of buying and selling goods, services over the internet. So commercial transactions that are conducted online. Now, as I said, it's beyond just products like t-shirts and electronics. If you talk about India, then one of the pioneers was IRCTC when they launched the portal where we could go ahead and book train reservations online using the website instead of having to travel to a nearby railway station or a ticket agent and then book tickets for the next train journey. IRCTC moved the entire process online. So that was a pioneer of e-commerce industry in India along with some other major players. Today, if you talk about, while Flipkart is a homegrown e-commerce giant in the physical space, they started from books and now they sell anything and everything under the roof. They're even into selling services now. You have IRCTC, you have Book My Show, into booking movie tickets, you have Redbus, and then you have the Make My Trips, the Clear Trips. So e-commerce is a big, big umbrella where you have goods, services of all categories, you have B2C e-commerce, and you have B2B e-commerce. So online shopping, electronic payments, as I said, online auctions. If you have ever transacted on eBay and there are other sites where you get to bid for products, the price is not fixed, the highest bidder gets the product or the service or the reward. So it's online auctions. Internet banking is another example of e-commerce. So rather than having to visit your bank branch for maybe requesting a checkbook or for a demand draft or any other request, any other query, or even transferring payment online for opening a fixed deposit or recurring deposits or other investments and saving schemes. Internet banking is another example of e-commerce. Online ticketing, as I said, IRCTC, Redbus, or even Book My Show. Grocery stores now have moved online, Big Basket, Grofers, and then online education. So last couple of years, especially when we've seen the rise of companies like Byju's, White Hat Junior, Unacademy. So online education is another dimension to the evolving and growing e-commerce industry globally and India. And then we have the online food and grocery delivery, the Swiggies and Zomatos. So e-commerce is a big umbrella that is beyond just physical products and sales. So anything and everything that you buy online, be it products or be it services, so be it goods, be it movie tickets, or be it insurance, that falls under the e-commerce category. So the classification of e-commerce, as I said, is you have B2C e-commerce, where businesses sell to consumers. Examples are Amazon, Flipkart, BookMyShow, Redbus, IRCTC. Then you also have business-to-business transactions. So for example, Amazon sells to businesses as well. But then you have specialized B2B e-commerce, where companies sell only to businesses. Even the consumer-to-consumer transaction, because now there are platforms like Meesho, for example, that allow people to sell to people. So obviously, the fulfillment happens via a business like Meesho, but it's me selling to another human. So it's consumer-to-consumer transaction. Or there are people who now use WhatsApp to sell products. So they would buy stuff, they would make an inventory, and they would sell to their friends and family. Or they would be in touch with another supplier of goods, and they would then promote the goods using WhatsApp and Instagram and Facebook amongst their colleagues, their friends and family. And once they receive orders, they pass on the order details to the supplier or the vendor, who then fulfills the entire order. So consumer-to-consumer transactions also happen. Then you would have consumer-to-business transactions. So if you talk about freelancers, for example, let's say a freelance content writer, and he may have a nice blog or a nice website where businesses who are looking for blog posts or blog articles or graphic designs can come on the website and then buy the services there. That's another form of electronic commerce. That's consumer to business. And then you also have government to business transactions. So all e-tendering or even the GST payments, these all fall into the government to business transaction. So e-commerce can be classified into these different subcategories: B2B, B2C, consumer to consumer, or government to business transactions. The nature remains the same. The entire transaction happens online. However, we are moving to a phase, and we will discuss that when we talk about the future of e-commerce, where omnichannel is becoming the preferred mode, where businesses are merging online plus offline. You would have had, or you would have heard of cases, for example, like companies like Lenskart or Nykaa, who started as online first companies. They started with a website, then a mobile app, but eventually in the last few years, they've also have established offline presence by setting up stores across the country. So online first companies have moved offline. Offline companies have moved online. Even in education, if you look at Byju's acquired Akash to set up an offline presence, Unacademy opened up its first center in Kota, Rajasthan. So another online education company trying to merge online with offline. So that's what we will talk about in the future of e-commerce. But as of today, e-commerce primarily is people buying and selling online, be it goods or be it services. Now, with the advent of smartphones and more people having access to smartphones, e-commerce has a specific category called mobile commerce. So here everything happens on a smartphone, and this has happened primarily because of the reach of smartphones, internet, and companies launching special mobile apps. So these apps are accessible only on smartphones, and there are a lot of companies, a lot of niche category specific e-commerce companies who do not have a website to take orders or for transactions. All the transactions happen only and only on their mobile apps. For example, even until recently, Instagram did not have the option for you to post using a laptop. Everything have to happen on the mobile app for Instagram. Similarly, a lot of companies only sell through their mobile apps. So if as a consumer, you have to buy their products or book their services, it happens on a mobile app. So it's just an electronic form of transaction that happens only and only on a smartphone or a mobile device, and hence the category mobile commerce. Then you have F-commerce or Facebook commerce. The broader category is social commerce, where you sell products and services using social networks like Facebook and Instagram. So you have options where companies or even individuals can post their products on the Facebook business store or Instagram. They can tag their products. They could put the prices there. And customers browsing their page or interacting with their posts can place order right on that mobile app, be it Facebook or Instagram or other such social networks, and hence Facebook commerce or social commerce. So these are what you call branches of the larger e-commerce umbrella, mobile commerce and social commerce, or Facebook commerce, as you would say. So these are again reasons or different categories which have evolved thanks to technology and thanks to the penetration of smartphones and internet across smaller towns and smaller cities, and more people having access to one, these devices, more and more people now open to pay online, and logistics network being strengthened so companies can really cater to even the smallest of towns and villages. So let's talk about the evolution of e-commerce. Now, 1960 to 1982 could be termed as the first phase or the beginning phase of the global e-commerce industry. This is not from an Indian perspective, but this is like the phase one of electronic commerce from a global perspective. So these 2022 years are called the first wave connecting businesses to a network. So this paved the way for electronic commerce because of the development of electronic data interchange. So the option and the facility where people could share data electronically. This could be information, or this could be images. So this was not possible until 1960s. Everything was physical, right? Physical mails, or you going and meeting a person. There was no way to transfer or transmit data electronically from one place in the world or a city to another point in the city or the country or the world. The second wave was the 1980s up to 1990. The second wave allowed users to do transactions on proprietary services. The first effort to connect to online commercial services using proprietary services happened in France. So Minitel was an example that used this technology in the 1980s. And then started the third wave, which continues until today. However, there have been more and more advancements. So third wave was the internet era, or is the internet era, which is allowing users to do real-time transactions. So the lag and the delay has been removed. So if you go online, for example, if you want to buy a t-shirt on Amazon today, and you go online and you could browse for different t-shirt designs, color and size options, and the one that you like, for example, there are only five t-shirts for that size, color and design in stock. So you could buy one or two right then and there, make the payment, give your address and contact details. And in real time, you could see the stock is updated. So if you, there were five t-shirts, you bought one. So now if the next person goes online to buy the same design, color and size, there would only be four left. So this transaction is happening real time. There is no delay. It's not that you've made a postal order that, okay, you have five in inventory, I buy to one, the order receives the seller then books one product for you and then adjusts the inventory for the other sellers who would come online and look at the product. There is no delay. The internet, the communication, the network now allows and facilitates real-time transaction, including browsing, ordering, and paying for products or services. So the history of e-commerce is closely intertwined with the history of the internet. Internet is the backbone on which the entire electronic commerce industry works upon, be it using laptops, computers, or smartphones. So online shopping only became possible when the internet was open to the public in 1991. Prior to that, it was government controlled. Common people or residents did not have access to the internet. It only happened in the 1990s. The convenience, safety, and user experience of e-commerce have improved exponentially. The convenience and safety and user experience, all these three matter in how e-commerce has grown. For example, today, if you talk about in 2022, you and I are more convenient and more secure to make payment transactions online. 10 years ago, that may not have been the case. More and more people opted for cash on delivery. But today we trust companies. One, because it's become a behavior. We've transacted with these companies multiple times to now trust them. And since we trust a few, even if there is a new entrant, we start trusting them as well. Because, okay, we've done this in the past with other suppliers, other vendors, other sellers. There is no reason we should doubt somebody else. Yeah, we may have our own inhibitions if we find someone or some website or some app which does not look very trustworthy. And there are different reasons and different ways on how people perceive a website or an app to be trustworthy. It could be a secure website, it could be customer testimonials, reviews, or safety signs like PayPal and Trustpilot and other such industry certifications. So there are different ways which we've been taught subconsciously to evaluate the security and convenience of a portal, of a seller, and then transact online. But in the last decade or so, this has grown exponentially, and even the user experience has grown, because thanks to technology and innovations, now we have mobile apps that are as fast as they could be. So in a matter of seconds, we're able to browse catalogs, apply filters, and select and view the products we want to. The speed has increased, the convenience has increased, it's more safer to transact online. We have multiple payment options. You may want to use a credit card, you may want to use a debit card, you may want to use net banking or payment wallets, or you may also choose to pay cash on delivery. And then you also get to know, if I buy today, when will the product be delivered? Does it happen in 2 days, 3 days, or 7 days? So we can plan better. All this thanks to technology and innovations. Now, by 2000, a great number of business companies in the US and Western Europe represented their services on the internet. So from business to business transactions, more and more people began to purchase available goods and services over the internet using secure connections and electronic payment services. So both these were real catalysts: security of the entire network, the entire transaction, and the ability to pay online. So PayPal was a pioneer to integrate online payments for electronic commerce. So since 2000, this has gathered momentum, and we see innovations and the growth every day as we start using different portals for buying goods and services. Now, by the end of 2001, the largest form of e-commerce, business-to-business model, had around $700 billion in transactions. So the value, the market size of business-to-business e-commerce had reached $700 billion by the end of 2001. So e-commerce sales continued to grow in the next few years. And by the end of 2007, e-commerce sales accounted for 3.4% of total sales. This sounds like a very, very small proportion, but this was growing. And this continues to grow as we speak. Now, emergence of online mega stores. This is what happened after 2007, and the biggest example is Amazon. What we all know started as a book selling service. So Amazon and eBay are two global big companies, big brands when we talk about e-commerce as an industry. So the mid 90s to 2000s saw major advancements in the commercial use of the internet. This was because in the 1990s, internet was opened to the public, and now enter 2000, even common people started having PCs at their home. Now they have computers, either Windows or Mac, at their home, and they were able to now browse internet. So Amazon launched in 1995 as an online bookstore. Even Flipkart in India started as an online bookseller. So their starts were similar. Amazon started in 1995. eBay debuted in 1995 as well as an online auction site. So anybody could go on eBay, put products for bidding. There were different buyers who would come and who would quote prices, and the highest bidder would then get to buy the product at the quoted price. So eBay started off as an auction site, and both started in somewhere around 1995. Yahoo again 1995, and Google in 1998. So you could see the late 1990s was when all of these major internet brands started: Amazon, Yahoo, Google, and eBay. And since then, they have evolved as well. For example, Amazon has evolved from selling only books to now selling everything under the roof. They have products, they have services, and so have Yahoo, Google, and eBay evolved. The e-commerce has now been in India for 20 years. So if you talk about India, even in India, e-commerce has been for 20 years. However, the major growth, the major push for e-commerce in India has happened in the last 8 to 10 years. So the appropriate ecosystem has now started to fall into place. So I would say somewhere around 2012, 13 onwards, and the last couple of years, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, e-commerce has really taken over in India. Because now, if pre-pandemic, people were primarily buying electronics, apparel, toys, books, and services. And services, they were booking tickets, be it for movies, bus, train tickets, airline tickets. But now, grocery shopping has become big in India. Because of COVID, people were not able to venture out and buy their regular daily grocery. That has become a phenomenon now. The advent of Swiggy and Zomato have made people open to buying food online. Even earlier, they were buying online, but it was about making a phone call to a preferred restaurant and ordering food, and then the restaurant delivery person would come and deliver the food. But now that has moved to a mobile app, thanks to Swiggy, Zomato, and other smaller such mobile apps. So last 2 years have been a major push, but e-commerce in India has been growing in the last 5, 7, 8 years. So one was COVID-19, because that changed the way consumer behaves. It changed the preferences of people. And since in the first few months of COVID-19, physical shops were shut. People were working from home, learning from home, living in their homes. They were forced to start using mobile phones to order products and services. And then the behavior developed. Once we ordered once, twice, and thrice, we started trusting the online sellers. We started trusting the quality of goods that we received. And hence, more and more people in metros or tier 2 or tier 3 were now exposed to buying online. For example, now even insurance is primarily being sold online. So gone are the days when you will always have an insurance advisor visit you in person. Now the entire transaction happens online. You open bank accounts online, you open your DMAT accounts online, the entire transaction happens online. So different categories, in fact all categories of products and services, even furniture is being bought online. You would have heard of brands like Pepperfry, for example. Now even they have moved offline. They're also trying to merge online with offline with brands like Lenskart, Nykaa, and the education companies. But now people are even buying furniture online. You even have portals that let you buy cars online. Now who would have imagined maybe 5, 6 or a decade ago that people would be open to buying motorcycles, scooters, or cars online? But that's happening. Both pre-owned cars and brand new cars, right? So people are open to try buying online all kinds of products and services, and hence this growth journey will continue. People living in metros like Mumbai, Bangalore, or Delhi may feel that the market in India is saturated, but even now, the entire contribution of e-commerce to the total sales in India is well below 20%. So there is still a lot of scope for the e-commerce industry in India to grow and catch up with other economies like US, Europe, and China. The number of active internet users in India is expected to increase by 45% in the next 5 years and touch 900 million by 2025. The current numbers by the end of 2020 was about 622 million. So you could see that the number of smartphone users and internet users is expected to increase by 40, 45, 50%. That outlines the immediate scope that the e-commerce industry has. As more and more people get connected to the internet, and have access to the latest technology in terms of smartphones, they would be exposed to these online shopping experience and apps. And once they see others buying, transacting, even they would want to do that. So you have convenience, you have a device, you have the technology, and you would want to join the experience and the option to buy online. So the scope still is large. So even today, if you talk about the latest ranking, India, being the second populous country in the world, right now still ranks number 8th in terms of the global e-commerce market size. So we are still ranked number 8. Obviously, the entire list is led by China, US, and UK, and countries like France. But even South Korea is ahead of India in terms of the e-commerce market size. So if you talk about the population of India, and more people now getting introduced to using smartphones, laptops, and mobile apps and social network, you would see the growth continue. In fact, India, along with Philippines, is the two economies that are growing at 25% plus when it comes to the growth in the e-commerce market size. Philippines is number one at about 26%, 25.9 to be precise. India is a close second at 25.5. And then you have economies like Vietnam and Brazil who are also catching up. So there is immense growth potential. Now, venture capitalists, VCs, and private equity players have demonstrated their faith in the growth of e-commerce in the country. Now, e-commerce as a sector, including all, is the topmost sector when it comes to attracting funds for new startups. So VCs and private equities and even angel investors have put in their faith in the e-commerce industry and startups. So that will again fuel the growth because new entrepreneurs would get the adequate funding and support to launch their e-commerce ventures. Thank you very much.